If you have your Bibles this morning, I would invite you to turn to the book of Exodus and the 35th division. Exodus chapter 35, I'll read verses 4 and 5 and then pick up again with verses 20 and 21. And then in the New Testament, read one verse, 1 Corinthians 10, 11. Let me set the backdrop for the book of Exodus. When Genesis closes, Joseph has died, and a Pharaoh has come to the throne that did not know Joseph, and the children of Israel have been encapsulated in bondage for hundreds of years. They had been praying for a deliverer. In Exodus chapter 3, in the midst of a burning bush, God calls Moses to go before Pharaoh and declare, "Let my people go." Between chapter 3 and chapter 20, there are plagues and a tug of war between Pharaoh and Moses, or perhaps I should say between God and Pharaoh, and God uses Moses to announce, "Let my people go." Ultimately, at the end of the 10th plague, the children of Israel are released from Egyptian bondage, and they set out toward the promised land. But it takes them 40 years to get there, so the rest of the book of Exodus is about the wilderness wanderings of the children of Israel in the promised land. At one point, God announces that he wants to spend time with his people, that he wants more than just to be their guide and their provider. He wants to be a fellowship God, a friend God. He wants to meet face to face with his people. And so he asked them to build for him a tabernacle. Later, in the books of Chronicles and Kings and David and Solomon and all of their doings, the tabernacle becomes the temple. And the temple is remembered even from the times of Christ and beyond. But it begins with a tent, a meeting place, a tabernacle. But how will that take place? Exodus 35, verse 4. Moses said to all the congregation of the people of Israel, "This is the thing that the Lord has commanded. Take from among you a contribution to the Lord. Whoever is of a generous heart, let him bring the Lord's contribution, gold, silver, and bronze." And in the verses between here and beginning with verse 20, the description of all things to be brought and how they will be established is mentioned. And in verse 20 it says, "Then all the congregation of the people of Israel departed from the presence of Moses, and they came, everyone whose heart stirred him, and everyone whose spirit moved him. And they brought the Lord's contribution to be used for the tent of meeting and for all its service and for the holy garments." Now just take a moment and turn to the New Testament, 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 11. "Now, these things happened to them as an example, but they were written down for our instruction, on whom the end of the ages has come." In other words, how God dealt with ancient Israel is an example of how God deals with his people today. The promises, the protection, the provision that God offered to ancient Israel in the wilderness wanderings is how God provides for us and protects us as we wander in this wilderness of a world we occupy this morning. And God wants to know you. And God wants to spend time with you. And God wants you to be in his presence. And so God says, "Build me a tent, a place of meeting." And in the New Testament, Paul teaches us that our bodies have become that very tent, that tabernacle, the place where God chooses to dwell with his children. So by the person of the Holy Spirit, He lives inside of every one of us who have trusted Him as a personal Savior and declared Him to be Lord in our lives. I want to talk to you this morning about God's miraculous plan, God's limitless resources. I believe that God wants to create in the body of Christ a spirit of generosity that reveals to the world that God is our Lord, our God, and beside Him there is none else. I believe that God wants to create in the body of Christ a people who are more interested in giving than they are receiving. And I want to share with you this morning just two thoughts: how God intends for us to establish a giving spirit. And then I want to share something very practical: how we as a church can embrace that biblical standard. How you and I can change our belief so that it changes our behavior. So let's begin with establishing a giving spirit. Watch the verses that I've read from Exodus and see if this is not true. You and I are never more like our Heavenly Father than when we are giving to others. I want you to listen to me. We're never more like Him than when we're giving to others. When a cold man gets a coat, when a hungry person gets a meal, when a broken person gets some encouragement, when a needy person gets some help. And yes, even when we come to the Lord's house and the offering plates are passed and we give back to God what God has been so gracious to give to us, we are never more like our God than in the process of letting go and giving, because our God is a giving God. For God so loved the world that He gave. And the greatest gift that has ever been given is the gift of Jesus Christ to the lostest of humanity, so that trusting in Him, we would be able to receive everlasting life. God is a giving God. It's His nature and it's His character. The tabernacle was God's idea. He caused it and He created it. He wanted to spend time with His children. He wanted us to come into His presence. So, I know that He'd given the law in the 20th chapter of Exodus, and He'd laid that law down so we'd know how to treat one another and live among one another. But He wanted much more than that. God desired a family. And because He desired a family, He invited us to come into His presence, come home for the holidays, come into His presence for Thanksgiving, with Thanksgiving, come into His presence. And then one day at Christmas, He came into our presence. He wanted to spend time with His children. And so He said, "Build me a tent." And He gave a description of it. And He included all of the elements necessary to build it. And He said, "I want to spend time with my children." And let me tell you, you're never more like the world than when you reach and grab and get. This is a selfish, self-centered world that we live in. And we're never more like the world than when we reach and grab and get for ourselves and hold on and don't let go. And we're never more like our Father than when we hold this world loosely and recognize that we have received so that we can give. And we spend time in His presence when we come to the rescue of someone in need. We spend time in His presence when we pour out our alabaster box and anoint Him with praise and adoration and worship. And let me tell you something else about the character of God and creating this giving spirit. The giving potential that these people had was arranged by God Himself. Where do you think they got the gold and the silver and the bronze? God allowed them to bring out of Egypt what they would need in the wilderness. And then while they were in the wilderness, He sent the manna down to feed them, the quail down to feed them, and the rock gushed forth with water. Everything the child of God had in the wilderness was God's gift to them. Everything you have in this wilderness is God's gift to you. If it's good and you've got it, it came from God. Everything, every good and perfect gift. We sometimes sing, we got a good, good Father. We ought to shout it every day. Our God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above and beyond all that we would ask or think. And He pours His luxuries out on us. So for us to serve Him with exuberance and for us to serve Him with excellence is only the calling and the reasonable service that the Christian ought to give. Our God's given us what He in turn wants us to share back with Him. And I want you to get this from Exodus chapter 35. This offering was God directed. God said, here's how you do it. And the people of a willing heart and the people of a stirred mind did just what God asked them to do. Let me give you some quick words here. It was a free will offering. It was not mandatory. It was the willingness of their heart and the stirred up mind that caused them to bring forth the offering. Now listen, every time you get paid, whether it's weekly or monthly, every time you get paid, Uncle Sam holds out a tax. Some of us pay it willingly and some of us don't, but we pay it. It's a tax. God does not tax His children. That's a burden. God blesses His children, and we don't give because we have to. We give because we get to. We don't give because it's a tax. We give because we trust Him. We don't give because it's mandatory. We give because He's our master and we choose to serve Him and love Him and give to Him what's rightfully His. It was a free will offering, and then it was a revelation offering. Here's what I mean by that. He said, you give it and here's what we're going to do with it. God already had in mind what the need was before the people's heart were broken and stirred to give. And do you know what? They gave exactly what was necessary to do exactly what God intended to do, and that was no accident. God knows what His ministry needs. God knows what His people can do. And when God puts the potential of His people together with the needs of His ministry, this world sees that our God is able to do beyond anything we would ask or think. Let me give you another word. This offering was inclusive. Moses said to all the congregation. And then in verse 20, then all the congregation of the people of Israel brought their gifts before the altar. Now here's a good place to stop and say that I am aware that not everyone that goes to Central gives consistently. Who you are, I don't know. I do not look at the gifts. I have no access to them. That's between you and the Lord. But it is obvious that if every one of us gave every time we ought to give, we'd never have a difficulty in reaching our budget. And because we don't always do so, then it becomes obvious that not everyone gives every time the opportunity to give is extended. But I want you to hear this. When you say, Pastor, I would if I could, but I can't afford to, you have been and are being deceived. Now, this is for you good, just like the spanking daddy used to give you when he said it'll hurt me more than it will you. This won't help you to feel good. I hope it helps you to feel convicted. But when you say, I can't afford to give to God, I want to tell you, you can't afford not to. God can do more with what you give to Him than you can imagine, and you can do more with what's left than you would ever believe. God will bless you for being obedient. This offering was given because it was an inspired offering. It was not that they were threatened. It was because a willing heart was stirred and a mind rejoiced in giving to God. Now, that's how you establish a giving spirit. How would Central Baptist Church go about embracing that spirit? Practically, what would that look like if from this side and up there to that side and up there and all between and all that are behind me, if all of us embraced the spirit of generosity, what would that look like? Well, first of all, the Bible tells us in Malachi chapter 3 to bring all the tithes into the storehouse so that his house might be full. And if we do, he opens the windows of heaven and he blesses us beyond our comprehension. Malachi chapter 3. But you may never have heard what I'm about to say, but it is absolutely true. The tithe, 10%, the tithe is a great place to start. But it is not a good place to stay. It's a great place to start. But the tithe and the offering were to be brought before the Lord. And when you begin to tithe and God blesses that, you will see and feel and be stirred in your heart to go beyond the tithe and began to give the offering to the Lord. Now, I tell you, I know a lot of pastors. In 50 years, you meet a whole lot of preachers, and I know a lot of pastors, and I don't know a pastor anywhere under any circumstance that wouldn't jump high and stay up there a while if everybody in their church tithed. You know, that would really be something. But you know what would really be something? Is if we caught the vision of starting with the tithe and moving forward until we gave beyond giving till it hurts and gave until we rejoiced in how much God had blessed us to give. Well, Pastor, just how much would that much be? Oh, I don't know. Let me just give you a thought. Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. I'm just saying. All. You mean all? Yeah. I mean everything you have came from Him. Hold it loosely. Let it go easily. You can't take it with you, but you can do many marvelous things with it while you are down here. It's no big deal if you run out. Just remember the shovel principle. You shovel it out, and God will shovel it in. And His shovel's bigger than yours. You can't outgive God. Just keep on and on and on until the spirit of generosity just overwhelms you. And when you see a hungry man, you feed him, and a thirsty person, you give him something to drink, and a needy person, you come alongside of them. And when you show up at the Lord's house, it's not a tax, it's a trust. It's not a burden, it's a blessing. And you say, Lord, look what you've given to me, and therefore, all to Jesus I surrender. Out there in the welcome centers, and probably in the hands of some of our ushers when the service is ended, is the annual business conference booklet. Since some of you have never opened the first page, let me tell you what's in it. Recommendations from various committees. Teachers who will teach next year stand to be approved. People who serve on our teams and our committees have been nominated and will stand to be elected. Next year's ministry budget for all of the expenses of the church. Every pastor has a budget. It's in here. And the church at large has a budget. That's how the lights are on and the room is heated or cooled, and all things that occur here are taken care of. Every member ought to get one. Every family ought to sit down for a few moments and sanctify those moments in prayer and pray over this little booklet. And every member ought to show up this coming Wednesday evening to business meeting. Well, Pastor, I've never done that. I know. But I'm saying every member ought to, because I want to tell you about the church budget. It's not a god. It's a goal. It's something we reach forward to. Where did you get that figure? Glad you asked. A dozen men and women meet together periodically through the year for hours upon hours and do their best to discern the mind of Almighty God. This is not an objective number that somebody said, that sounds good. Well, let's plug in a little extra in case we need it. These numbers are perused and prayed over until unanimously the finance team says, we believe we have come to the mind of God in this matter. They're recorded in print. They're distributed to a church of 1,000 or more people who have a responsibility to kneel before our Maker and ask God if this is His mind, if this matter does need to be passed, and then to come and vote your conviction on Wednesday evening when we have one and only one business meeting in the year. Now, I want to be honest with you. The whole church ought to be involved. Verse 4, to all the congregation, Moses said. Verse 20, then all the congregation of the people brought their contribution to the Lord. Inside today's worship folder is a small white Thanksgiving envelope. If you're our guest this morning, let me tell you something about us. Since we've been in this building, which now numbers about 15 years, on Thanksgiving or the Sunday prior to it, we bring our offering to the Lord. Every other Sunday, we take one offering on Sunday morning in the worship services. The offering plates pass our way, and those of us who give place an offering in the offering plate. On the Sunday before Thanksgiving, we have an altar table. And the most beautiful of all services is to watch families come with their offering envelope and lay it on the table. Some give a large offering. Some write a blessing on the envelope, God's touched our family this year. Some write a prayer request. I've just been to the doctor. It doesn't look good. But we ask every person to bring their envelope to the altar. We set our goal high. It's $275,000 this year. That's a massive amount for any one family. That's a very large amount for any one church. And yet that amount is what's needed this year to do those things that our pastors and our finance committee, our staff and our workers and our deacons have decided needs to be done. Can it be done? Well, of course it can. We've given more than that in years past, but we can never forget the potential of our God. Whatever we need, he says, I will supply that need through my riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And for us to say, oh, that's too much for God to do, is such an insensitive remark, recognizing the nature of a God who has limitless resources, who has a miraculous plan, who intends to do beyond all that we would ask or think. So every family, you ought to take this envelope home with you this week. You ought to call a family convention. You ought to sit down and lay this on the table. You ought to pray over it. You ought to look at it. You ought to look to Him. And I want to challenge you before we go this morning, don't give a math offering from the mind. Give a love offering from the heart. Let's see the checkbook, honey. We've got to pay this, we've got to pay that, we've got to pay that. Well, this is what we can mathematically afford to do. Don't give a math offering from your mind. Give a love offering from your heart. But Pastor, what if there's not enough left? Let me just ask you a simple question. What if I guaranteed you that if you gave an offering of the heart and you couldn't pay your bills next month, I'd pay them for you? What if I promised you that? Well, you'd say, well, if I give a big offering and I can't pay my bills, but he's going to, and I guess I just need to trust him. Oh, foolish person you would be. I can't pay all of your bills. But now let me turn that coin over. What if our God said, you give from the heart, and then you trust me? Anybody know a hallelujah's in store here? Anybody know God can and God will? Anybody know that God is able and God is faithful? That is all we need to do, is give not from the mentality of the mind and the mathematical equation that we dissolve, but we give from the stirring of the heart and all that God has blessed us with, and we hold it lightly and we let it go, and we discover that you cannot outgive God. Now, please forgive me for the next remark. 51 years ago, when Maggie and I got married and I started to preach, we decided that we were going to tithe. I don't think we have missed a paycheck in 51 years, and the tithe has grown beyond the tithe and has become an offering. I do not say that for any praise at all. I say that to tell you, my God is faithful. My God is faithful. I trusted Him. I tried Him. And I've proved Him. My God is faithful. And what He has done for us, He will do for you if you will trust Him and try Him and prove Him. You cannot outgive a faithful God. Let's stand. For once in a year, I have taken the whole message to speak about giving. But I want to remind you of a verse that I use. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, So if there's someone here this morning and you've never received Christ as your Savior, none of this makes sense to you until you know Jesus as Lord of your life. So there'll be pastors here in the altar, and we want to invite you to come if you've never become a Christian, and let these pastors share with you the good news of the gospel and how Jesus can be Lord of your life, in charge of who you are and all that you have. And it's just a prayer away if you really trust Him. And maybe somebody wants to come and become a part of our church family. And I want to encourage you to do that this morning. And in the quietness of these moments, as God speaks to your heart about becoming a part of the church family, you just say, Lord, this is a place where I can worship. This is a place where I can give. This is a place where I can serve. I want to be a part of it. And you come and let us know that. But there may be people all over this room who have been challenged, not by me, not by my testimony, but you've been challenged by the Spirit of God this morning to enter into a culture of generosity. Lord, I've been squeezing out of every paycheck. I've been squeezing out of everything. I've been frustrated and I've struggled at paying this and that and the other. And maybe if I didn't hold on to this world so tightly and I would let go of things I ought to be trusting you for, you'd show yourself mighty in my behalf. Maybe you want to just come and find a place to pray and say, Lord, don't let me walk out of here and forget what I've heard. Don't let me walk out and forget what I feel. Lord, I want to be a generous spirit giver. Not about me getting, but about me giving. I want the world to get what you pour into me, and I want to pour it into them. You'll know what to do if you'll just whisper a prayer. Lord, I've heard the songs, I've heard the message. Now, what is there for me to do about this last hour? And if you'll be honest and open and obedient, God will speak to your heart and He'll bless you. Pastors, come. Daryl leads us in songs, and we'll be here in the altar.
My Lord, what love is this that pays?